Jamie Ford's debut novel was a sensation. Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet was the story of a Chinese-American boy who falls for a Japanese-American girl. Unfortunately, their timing's off. The love was stymied by World War II. The girl was interned in Minidoka in Idaho. Jamie Ford follows his best-selling novel with another book that comes out of Asian-American history. Songs of Willow Frost is a story of a Chinese-American forced to give up her young son to an orphanage when the Depression hits. Ford says the book was inspired by his own family history.
My grandparents met at a backroom gambling parlor in the 20s. My grandfather was a blackjack dealer and a croupier, and my grandmother was a Kochet girl. I've always been fascinated with that time period.
The club they met at was the Wami Club, which is infamous in Seattle right now for the Wami Massacre.
Yeah, the infamous Wami Club, a cornerstone of tragedy in the 80s. But before that, it had decades of joy and merriment. It was kind of this hub of the community.
So when you were growing up, had you heard stories about the International District at that time, about the club, about the diversions in the neighborhood?
Yeah. My grandfather always said, my Chinese grandfather said that if you were Chinese in the 20s, you had three job options: restaurant, laundry, or gambling. And he did break that mold a little bit. He was a taxi driver and he was a fisherman and things like that. But he did take his turn at the Wami.
When did you decide that that was a good nut to sort of build a story around?
I had actually been researching this story before I wrote Hotel, oddly enough, because once my grandfather had passed away, I was always, I found myself being intrigued by that time period and wanting to dig around a little bit in that time period. And so after Hotel, I knew I wanted to return there and see what else I could find.
There are actually two main backdrops to this particular novel. One is the International District, sort of right before the Great Depression hits. And
right.
The other is the Sacred Heart Orphanage, which is now Villa Academy in the Laurelhurst neighborhood of Seattle. And that is set approximately 12 years after the beginning of the novel. So it's curious because you've taken sort of the high point of the Roaring Twenties and the low point of the 20th century and juxtaposed them with these personal stories. As a novelist, how much are you tied to the historical backdrop and how much do you have free rein to pursue a story that you create out of nothing, as it were?
Out of whole cloth. As a novelist, I really have free reign to do anything. I can inject, zombies and apocalyptic giant rats and things like that.
Which are not in the book,
not to disappoint anyone. But I do feel like I have a responsibility to the social context to depict the important details as accurately as possible. Little things I might let go. So I might mention bus number 14 in that neighborhood. It was actually bus 27. Things that aren't germane to the spirit of the story, I don't really lose a lot of sleep over, but the main details, I really spend a lot of time and try to get it right.
There are two backdrops. There are also two main characters, Willow Frost, who's actually Liu Song, and her son William. Do either of those people bear any relationship or resemblance to your own family members?
There's probably a little William in all of us. I think everyone has, to some degree, a bit of an abandonment complex.
We should say William is living at the Sacred Heart Orphanage when we meet him.
Yeah, William is at the orphanage, hasn't seen his mother for some time and believes that she's dead. And so I relate a lot to that type of anxiety. As far as Willow, she's not biographical in any way, but definitely inspired by some of the angst and turmoil in my mom's life and my Chinese grandmother's life.
You live in Great Falls, Montana right now, but you did grow up in Seattle. And so you are writing about a city that at one time was part and parcel of your daily life. And I wonder what that's like to write about a place from a remove.
It's nice. I really believe that authors write about what they lament. And so they write about things that they miss or long for or have this melancholic echo. And for me, I live away from Seattle, but it's always a place where my heart is invested.
So do you make trips to the city to actually sort of scout out, this is the location where people are going to live, this is what it looks like when you're at the Sacred Heart Convent?
Yeah, I really think you have to write for all five senses. And so that involves walking around and Chinatown has a certain smell to it. Sacred Heart Orphanage has, you know, it's the Villa Academy has been there for decades, and so it has a certain history and wood floors, and there's a certain sound as you walk through the hallways, and I think you experience all that when you go there.
What is it about setting a novel in a historical context that interests you?
For me, as a researcher, I enjoy the discovery of the research process. For me, that's very indulgent, and that's pleasurable, that's enjoyable. But as a storyteller, it anchors the story in. I think people can relate to history maybe in a way that they can't relate to a novel set on Mars or the moon or something. Not that those aren't great stories, because I'm a huge sci-fi fan, but I think it anchors it in family moments. And I see that in the emails I get from readers that say, okay, my grandmother lived here and this was her experience. And I love that.
So Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet, your first novel, was a major success, we can say. It was a New York Times bestseller. It's been adapted by Seattle's own Book at Repertory Theater for the stage. How much of a hurdle is that for you as a writer?
Did I mention I live in Montana?
Does it help that you're out of the main spotlight there?
It does. It's sort of the running joke in my family is my neighbor yells over the fence, you know, when are you ever going to work on that book you were doing? You know, I can,
oh, really?
Yeah, I can exist in anonymity. I'm not plugged into any kind of East Coast literati. I'm really far from it. That helps to remove myself from that context. That being said, it is there's a bit of pressure writing for people's expectations, but you know, anything that's difficult is usually worth doing.
Now, you've mentioned both zombies and outer space. Does that mean that the third novel that you're contemplating could be zombies set in Seattle's Chinatown or out in outer space? Are you going to move past this historical novel kind of work that you've been now pigeonholed with two books?
Yes and no. I mean, no to the zombies, but the next book is in the same vein of historical fiction, but on the back burner, I've been researching another story that someday, hopefully in my lifetime, will be a young adult book that will be historical but also have some fantastical elements.
You have any clues to what those might be?
You'll have to wait and see.
Well, I thought maybe I could trick you into spilling the beans. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.